Leia fired, and the quad barrels of the Falcon's belly gun spat the incoming TIE fighter. The Imperial craft flew right into the beams and exploded. That was three she'd gotten, and Chewie had hit his share, but more of them were swarming in. She heard Lando over the comm.
We can't land. If we put it down on the deck, we'll get blasted.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. We can't keep flying around it. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh what?
Boba Fett's ship. It's taking off.
Follow it.
How? There's a wall of Imperial fighters between us.
Go around them. She was too close to lose Han now. The Falcon lurched, fell in a belly-twisting dive. Leia felt the Falcon rock as the shields were hit. I hate to be the one to say it, but I have a bad feeling about this. Back at Rogue Squadron's secret moon base, Luke and Wedge hurried from their fighters to where Wes's X-Wing had been towed. Wes stood there staring at his ruined ship. Wedge said, "You all right?"
"Yeah, I'd sure like to know what my R2 unit ate for breakfast, though. What could have gotten into it?"
Luke's knees still felt rubbery.
"Why don't we see if we can find out?"
He waved at the crew chief, and when she approached, said, "Get a coupler on this unit, would you?" The malfunctioning R2 unit exited the ship and settled to the ground. The crew chief stepped in and stuck a restraining bolt on it before it could move. Luke turned to R2. "R2, you ever seen anything like this before?" R2 moved closer, extruded an interface, and plugged it into the other unit. Uh-oh. R2 says the droid wasn't malfunctioning. It was programmed to shoot at me.
Who would do that? And why?
Wedge asked. The chief pulled her comm link out and spoke into it. Listen, Luke couldn't hear who was on the other end.
"That's Rendar. He's coming in at the second hangar,"
the chief said. "What about Leia and Lando?"
The chief shrugged. "He didn't say."
As Leia continued firing, Lando called out,
"We can't get through. He's better."
"Lando? Lando!" Another TIE shot past. Leia fired at it, missed. The Falcon swung a hard turn to the left, then the right. 3PO leaned over the turret.
"Princess Leia, Master Lando says the comm unit has been damaged. We no longer have internal or external communications. We must leave immediately or we'll be destroyed."
"We can't."
But they were already doing so. The Falcon arced away from the shipyard and dived between two half-constructed towers, twisting so it flew sideways. Leia unbuckled herself from the turret and hurried to the control cockpit.
"Lando, what are you doing?"
"Saving our lives. I used every trick in the manual, plus a few I made up, and I couldn't get past those fighters. There were too many of them."
"What about Boba Fett?"
"I lost him." "Yeah, me too. But we can't do Han any good if we get scattered all over the landscape."
It was all Luke could do to restrain himself. He almost took a swing at Dash. Wedge saw.
"Easy, Luke."
But Luke was outraged.
"You just left them there?"
"Hey, kid, I was hired as a guide, so I guided. End of story."
Dash turned and ambled off. One of the sensor crew ran over. "We've got a ship coming in. No communications, but the scopes say it's a Corellian freighter."
The Millennium Falcon. They were alive.
Wedge said, "Let's say we go and dig out that rascal R2 unit before they come in." But when they reached the place where the bollocksed astromech droid had been, all they found was a smoldering pile of debris. Luke spun around looking for the crew chief who was supposed to be watching the unit. He spotted the woman quick enough. She was pointing a blaster right at him. The chief saw Wedge go for his weapon, turned and shot at him. The blast sizzled between Luke and Wedge, missed Luke by centimeters. Wedge didn't have any choice. His blaster beam knocked her sprawling. By the time Luke got to her, the chief wasn't going to be answering any questions ever again. Luke looked down.
"Well, I guess we know who rascaled the droid. I would have liked to know why."
Wedge shook his head. "Maybe we can find out. I'll see what the operations computer has on her." It was only a few minutes later that the Millennium Falcon put down on the moon. While Luke comforted Leia about the loss of Boba Fett's trail, Wedge and Lando went to check on the former crew chief. When they returned, they looked grim.
"Well,
It seems there was a transfer for 10,000 credits into the chief's account a few days ago, just after the rogue squadron arrived here. Lando managed to access the account using a borrowed command override code. And? Lando filled in. The money came from a dummy corporation called Saber Enterprises. Last I heard, Saber was a front organization for the Empire's secret undercover anti-espionage operations.
You think somebody paid the chief to rig the droid to shoot Luke? Leia asked.
Seems awfully coincidental to me otherwise, Lando said. Leia nodded. It's got Vader's glove prints all over it.
Luke shook his head. That doesn't make any sense. He wants me alive. He wants me to join the Empire.
Leia watched Luke take off in his X-Wing with R2. It had been tough to persuade him to go back to Tatooine, but she had managed to convince him that she needed to go do some business for the Alliance, and someone had to be there to keep an eye out for Boba Fett. As the X-Wing's engines faded away, she called Dash Rendar over to her side.
Are you available for a job?
Sweetie, I'm always available if the money is right.
I want you to go to Tatooine and keep an eye on Luke.
Dash raised an eyebrow. Bodyguard? Sure, I can do that. Kid won't like it if he finds out.
So, stay out of sight. Somebody tried to kill him, and I think they'll try again.
After she'd paid him half up front and Dash was gone, Leia went to find Lando.
Let me pose a hypothetical question.
If you don't mind a hypothetical answer, go ahead.
What would be the best way to contact somebody high up in Black Sun?
Lando stared at her. The best way? Don't.
Come on, Lando. This is important.
Princess, Black Sun is bad news. You don't want to get into bed with them.
I'm not planning on getting into bed with them. I just want to rummage through their wardrobe chest.
What?
Somebody just tried to kill Luke. Maybe it was Vader, maybe not. Black Sun has a vast spy net. They can find out who's responsible. You have the connections, right?
It's still a bad idea.
Lando?
Yeah. I know a few people.
Shizor stood awaiting Darth Vader on a high, wide terrace overlooking the central park of a huge space habitat. Vader had requested that they meet on the Emperor's Skyhook, one of the satellites orbiting high above Coruscant.
Lord Vader.
Prince Shizor, you had something to discuss?
Yes. The location of a secret rebel base has come to my attention. I assumed you would want to know.
Vader was silent, save for his measured mechanical breathing.
Of course. Where is this base?
In the Baji sector, out on the rim. It is my understanding that there is a shipyard full of vessels undergoing repair.
I'll have my agents check it out. If it is as you say, then the Empire will be indebted to you.
Shizor gave Vader a courteous nod.
Merely my duty, Lord Vader. No thanks are necessary.
He could almost feel Vader squirming. Owing Shizor must rankle. That the shipyard was, unbeknownst to either the rebels or the Empire, owned by Ororo Shipping, a company that had recently dared to tread on Black Sun spice operations, was so much the better. Here was a way to skewer two eels with the same spear. Ororo would be damaged, and the Emperor's trust in Shizor would be greatly enhanced.
Vader waited while the Emperor considered the information he had just presented, though he had not told him that the source was Shizor.
So, our agents have verified this report?
They have, my master.
100 rebel ships. Plus, no doubt, their pilots and officers.
Likely, yes.
Well, you must take part of the fleet and go there immediately. Destroy the base.
I thought perhaps Admiral Oakens might command the expedition.
The Emperor smiled.
Did you?
But If it is your wish, I will lead the attack.
It is my wish.
As he left the Emperor's chamber, Vader fumed. What was in this for Shizor? What did he hope to gain? Vader would take his ships and crush the rebel shipyard, and then he would hurry back here. Shizor was up to something, and it would be best if he found out what quickly. Leia, Chewie, and Lando sat in a private office on the planet of Rhodia, facing one of Lando's contacts across a large desk made of some kind of carved yellowish bone. Avaro's skin was a dull green. He was much fatter than most of the Rhodians Leia had seen, and he spoke basic with a lispy accent. Although there had been a feud between his nephew Greedo and Han in the past, a feud that had left Greedo dead on the floor of the Mos Eisley Cantina, Avaro seemed willing enough to help them for a price.
I see no problems. Solo is frozen. Kenobi is dead. Your money is as good as anybody's.
Leia said, "So, you will put us in touch with the proper people?"
Avaro nodded.
"Yes. It will take a few days. Local contacts won't do you any good. You'll need an off-planet representative."
"Fine."
"Meanwhile, feel free to enjoy our casino. Rooms will be made available for you."
R2 fired a crackling beam of electricity at Luke. Tatooine's desert morning air sizzled with a spark that arced a full 2 meters long. Luke, in the grip of the Force, snapped his newly completed lightsaber to block it. The charge cascaded harmlessly from the blade. "Too easy." I know it's not your fault. You're no Darth Vader." He heard a distant drone getting steadily louder. Engines. Somebody was coming to call. "Maybe we better get out of sight. Hide inside, R2. With R2 safely in Ben's house, Luke circled around to a sandy hillock and crouched down. The noise of the engines was an echoing racket now, and he recognized the source. Swoops. Swoops were long, raked repulsor craft with a plow-like scoop on the front. The two-person vehicles were fast and maneuverable, but hard to control. Most people associated them with outlaws. The swoops roared in and began to circle Ben's house. There were 8, 9, 12 of them. The riders all wore protective goggles and shock helmets, but their colorful flight suits weren't matched. The insignia on their jackets looked vaguely familiar to Luke. All carried blasters. Luke wasn't as well hidden as he thought. One of the men spotted him, jerked his blaster up, and fired. The beam sizzled past him, turned sand into muddy glass.
"Blow the little runt to B-spin, boys!"
Luke hurried to a couple of large boulders to find better cover. Luke was able to block the shots that came close. Well, he wanted a real test for his lightsaber. Luke spun, saw that two of the swoops had collided. They couldn't shoot and they couldn't fly. Lucky for him. Luke twisted. A biker roared in, holding an axe in his hand. Another engine screamed closer than the Axeman. Luke set himself, and as the second swooper approached, he swung his lightsaber in a feint and slammed his boot into the rider. His kick toppled the attacker from the swoop. Luke hopped onto the swoop, grabbed the handlebars, and twisted the start ring. He pointed the swoop at the Axeman and opened the throttle wide. The acceleration nearly unseated him, but he managed to stay in the saddle. The axe shattered when it hit Luke's lightsaber. He turned the swoop and roared away. Ahead of him was another rider. With Luke's turbos opened wide, it didn't take long to reach him. By the time the biker figured out Luke wasn't one of his gang, it was too late. He tried to turn away, but Luke's cut sheared through his right thruster control line. The right jet shut down, but the left one did not, and the swoop spun out of control. The wildly gyrating little craft flew into the path of another rider. Luke swung the swoop into a wide turn and hit the throttle. He could be at Beggar's Canyon in minutes. No way they'd run him down there. Beggar's Canyon was actually a series of linked canyons. He and a few other local would-be star pilots had engaged in mock firefights here in their T-16s, and Luke figured he'd explore just about every centimeter. The pack of swoop troops was still behind him as he dropped below ground level.
Only one rider dressed in blue had gained on him. The route called the Main Avenue went more or less straight for nearly 2 kilometers before it made a sharp turn to the right. Dead man's turn, they called it, and for good reason. Luke dropped his airspeed as he approached the intersection and made a hard turn to the right. Take it too fast and you turn yourself into paste on the far wall of the turn. The rider behind him didn't slow down enough. Another turn, a long zigzag to the left, right, then left again. He needed to keep to the center of the corridor, which narrowed in the middle of the stretched-out Z. Seconds later, one of the bikers appeared in his rearview mirror. Time to thread the needle. The eye of the needle was a narrow slot with jagged teeth of rock lining it. Luke gunned the turbojets, went through the slot close enough so he felt a shard of rock catch his jacket and tear it. The rider, hot on his tail, tried to follow him. Didn't make it. The rest of them were still after him. As he throttled for a sharp turn, Luke heard a hoarse yell.
He's got help! We ain't gonna win this one, Spiker. Let's burn!
Luke looked over his shoulder. A swoop, engines off, dropped in silent freefall. The rider fired a blaster as he fell, missing but making the swooper scatter. The descending swoop got to within a handspan of the ground and stopped. Man, that was flying. The man pulled his helmet off. Luke couldn't believe it. Dash, what are you doing here?
Saving your butt from swoop scum, it looks like. Did you see their tattoos? This gang works for Jabba. Vader is no longer your number one admirer.
On board the Star Destroyer, from which he had commanded the attack against the enemy base, Darth Vader stepped into the holocam field and initiated the transmission with the Emperor. The holonet made its considerably faster-than-light connections. The air shimmered as the Emperor appeared. Vader lowered himself to one knee.
My master.
Ah, Lord Vader. Your report.
The rebel shipyard in the Baji sector is no more. We destroyed hundreds of vessels and thousands of the enemy within them.
Good. Good.
The Emperor waved his hand, and his image became smaller as the holocam on his end adjusted to a wider angle. The new angle revealed Shizor standing a couple of meters away. Vader's involuntary reaction overrode his mechanical breather. He forced himself to allow the breather to resume its normal function. The Emperor continued.
Prince Shizor was just telling me how happy he was to provide the Empire with the location of the rebel base. We owe him much gratitude, don't you think?
Vader gritted his teeth.
The Empire owes you thanks, Prince Shizor.
The Emperor smiled. Shizor smiled even wider.
Oh, think nothing of it, Lord Vader. I'm always happy to serve.
Had the man been any more self-effacing and servile in his tone, he would have had to look up from licking the Emperor's boots in order to speak. It was good that he was light years away. Vader's anger was such that if he had been within reach, he wasn't sure he could have stopped himself from destroying Shizor. The Emperor brought the communication to a close.
I expect to see you soon, Lord Vader.
Yes, my master. We are returning even as we speak.
Good.
The image swirled and faded. As Vader stood and turned to leave the hollow chamber, a junior officer approached.
Lord Vader, I...
That was as far as he got. Vader clenched his fist and called upon the dark side. The officer fell, clutching his throat.
I do not wish to be disturbed. Is that clear?
Guri was about to leave for Rodia when Shizor stopped her.
Before you go there, I have another errand for you. There is a secret document in my personal files under the heading Root. You know what it is?
Yes.
Download it and see that it gets into the hands of our Bothan double agent on Bothawi. Make certain he knows that we are responsible for its delivery.
He could feel Guri's reluctance and said so.
You disapprove.
It does not seem to be in your best interests to do this, she said.
Ah, but it is. By having Black Sun put this tidbit into the rebels' hands gratis, they will be much more apt to trust us. In the unlikely event the Empire should lose this war, the Alliance will remember us as friends and not enemies.
While Darth Vader had been out of the way dealing with the rebel shipyard in the Baji sector, Shizor had been busy. He had made sure the Emperor knew that he was the one responsible for discovering the location of the base. He had continued to send his spies out in search of information about Skywalker. Now he leaned back in his form chair and looked at the small holoproj floating on his desk.
Magnify image. Full scale.
The simulacrum increased sixfold. Standing on his desk was a strikingly beautiful woman, unaware that her picture had been captured by a hidden holocam.
So, this is Princess Leia Organa. How interesting.
Guri watched behind him.
She approached the owner of one of our protected casinos on Rodia, looking to set up a meeting with somebody of stature in Black Sun.
The Dark Prince steepled his fingers and regarded the image.
Now, why would one of the leaders of the Alliance be interested in our organization? They have repeatedly rebuffed our overtures, not wishing to sully their clean revolutionary hands with common criminal dirt. Go and find out.
Guri refrained from speaking, but Shizor detected something unsettled in her manner.
A problem?
The task does not seem particularly challenging.
Shizor laughed, one of her few foibles that, wishing to be pushed to her limits...
Perhaps not. Still, it is important for another reason. She may well be the easiest way to locate Skywalker. In any event, I may find a use for her.
So where is Leia? Luke asked Dash. They had returned to Ben's house, each on a swoop. Luke had not been pleased that Leia had sent Dash to keep an eye on him.
Gone to Rodia to connect up with Black Sun.
Luke nearly dropped the container of cold water he held. Black Sun? Is she out of her mind? Han had dealings with them. He said they were more dangerous. Outside, they saw a tiny vessel falling to the desert floor a half click away. Well, looks like a message droid, Luke said. The message droid, a box half the size of R2, floated in front of them in Ben's house. It didn't look damaged, but something must have rattled loose inside it, for it kept repeating itself.
I have a message for Princess Leia Organa.
Luke sighed. How many times do I have to tell you she isn't here? R2, can you talk to this thing? R2 worked over the droid for a few seconds, then...
I am empowered to deliver the message to an authorized representative of Princess Leia Organa in her absence.
Now we're getting somewhere, Luke said. Tell me, I'm her, authorized representative...
Password.
Password? What would Leia use as a password? Luke Skywalker.
That password is incorrect.
Dash laughed. Han Solo?
That password is incorrect.
Alderaan?
Password correct.
A sliding plate on the droid moved, exposing a holoprojector. A long-haired, bearded Bothan stood there. Dressed in a forest green overtunic, pants, and boots, a long military-style blaster strapped to his waist and right leg.
Greetings, Princess Leia. Karth Milan here, speaking to you from my home world of Bothawi. Our spy network has uncovered information vital to the Alliance. You must come immediately. I will be at the intergalactic trade mission for 5 days. The Alliance must act in that time, or the information may be lost.
Luke stared at the message droid. Well, I guess we'll have to go in her place, then.
Why? Asked Dash. The message was for her.
I'm her designated representative. I got the password, right? Whatever this Koth Melan has got, he can tell it to me.
Dash grinned. Well, you're worth more to me alive than dead. I better protect my fee. I'll take one of the swoops into town and get my ship. Meet you in orbit.
Reaching Bothawee wasn't hard, though it got a little tricky when an Imperial patrol buzzed the planet and Luke and Dash had to do some fancy flying to avoid them. Getting inside the intergalactic trade mission to see Koth Melan was a little harder, however. The Bothan guard wanted to see a pass, and they didn't have one. Luke tried using the Force on him, as Ben had done, but Dash solved the problem by bribing the man. A protocol droid, much like 3PO, staffed the desk in the anteroom of the office to which they had been directed.
Good morning. How may I assist you?
Princess Leia is supposed to see Koth Melan, Luke said.
You are Princess Leia?
Luke frowned. No, I'm not Princess Leia. I'm her representative, Luke Skywalker.
I'm afraid I cannot admit you without an appointment. Master Melan is very busy. Perhaps I can arrange for you to see him in a standard week. Your names?
Luke frowned. How could they convince this droid? Couldn't bribe him. The Force wouldn't work. Dash grinned and pulled his blaster. Okay, Goldie, my name is Man with a Blaster about to cook you. Either you open the door or your busy Bothan is going to have to get himself a new receptionist.
Oh, dear.
And the droid preceded them into a large office. Sitting behind a desk was the Bothan who'd sent the message to Leia.
Put away the hardware, Rendar. You don't need it.
Dash blinked, surprised, but holstered his weapon. Luke stepped forward.
Excuse the way we came in, but we had to see you.
Melan smiled. I know. You're Luke Skywalker, and you are Dash Rendar. I've been expecting you. Please, take a seat.
Luke and Dash exchanged glances.
Perhaps I should explain. I discovered that Princess Organa was no longer on Tatooine, too late to recall the messenger droid I sent. Because you are here, I assume you knew the password she and I agreed upon. You were scanned, first at the doorway to the building by the guard you bribed, then on the turbo lift, and positively identified. If you had been assassins, you would have arrived on a level with a dozen armed guards pointing their weapons at you when the lift doors opened.
Luke leaned forward.
What's so important that you sent a message droid to Leia?
The Bothan spy net is second to none. We have managed to learn that the plans to a secret Imperial venture are kept closely guarded in special computers with no outside lines. There is no access to these systems save by direct contact.
Luke nodded. So what are we supposed to do about it?
Our intelligence indicates that one of the secured computers is being sent from Coruscant to Bothawee. The Empire has its own spies here. We want to obtain this computer and crack it open to see what the Empire is up to.
That sounds reasonable. How do we get our hands on it?
The Empire intends to send the plans on an unescorted ship, posing as a simple freighter carrying fertilizer.
Dash broke in.
A freighter full of fertilizer. That is devious. Who'd hijack that?
There are Bothans who have Alliance sympathies, willing to help secure the freighter, but they are relatively unskilled at such sorties. It would help if they had a commander with some experience in space battles to lead them.
Luke smiled. That's me. He turned to Dash. What about you? You in?
Risk my ship and neck for what?
I thought you wanted to keep me alive.
You ain't worth that much.
If the information is as valuable as it seems to be, the Alliance might be willing to give you a bonus for helping collect it.
Dash considered it. All right. I got nothing else to do.
Luke led the dozen Y-wings, piloted by Bothans, away from the planet. While the formation was a little ragged, they flew pretty well for a group who'd only had minimal time in the craft. Behind him, Dash flew his chrome ship, nearly invisible against the backdrop of space, with Koth Melan as a passenger. Luke felt ready. Only one thing bothered him. When the Bothan's operative had arrived the day before with data about the arriving freighter, he had mentioned that the information came from the Bothan's contact in Black Sun. Something wasn't quite right about that. They brought their fighters to a halt and floated in the middle of nowhere, waiting. The freighter ought to be popping out of hyperspace less than 100 kilometers dead ahead. The freighter pilot must have overslept. The ship dropped into real space, all right, but only 50 clicks away. It was a stock light freighter, Corellian, though different in configuration from the Millennium Falcon. Instead of the saucer-like body with a twin nose and offset control cockpit, this was a long oval with the ends squared off, a detachable cargo container slung under its belly. Luke spoke to his squadron.
Heads up, Blue Squad. There's our target. Attack formation.
He switched to a standard operations channel and hailed the freighter. Attention, freighter Suproza. This is Commander Skywalker of the Alliance. Shut down your engines and prepare to be boarded. The reply came quickly.
This is the captain. Are you crazy? We're hauling fertilizer here. What kind of pirates are you?
We're not pirates. We are with the Alliance. And maybe we have a big garden. Pull her up, Captain, and nobody gets hurt. There came a long pause. It was possible the pilot didn't know what he was hauling, but Luke didn't believe that. If he didn't know, he'd have no objections to being boarded. The freighter suddenly dropped its cargo module, speeded up, and turned to starboard. It was going to make a run for it. Luke switched back to the tactical op-chan. Gotta do it the hard way, boys. Target the engines only. We don't want to blow this baby up. Move in. The distance between Blue Squadron and the freighter decreased in a hurry. Luke was in the lead. His ship was faster than the Y-wings, and it would take only a couple of blasts to knock out the engines, assuming they had standard shields. Put it on screen, R2. The image of the freighter appeared before him. Where there had been four smooth sections of hull before, red lights now blinked. Another two spots flashed blue. Plates had slid back on the freighter to reveal hidden weapons. Heads up, everybody. This thing has got teeth. Luke put his X-Wing to a sweeping turn as the freighter's port laser fired. The blast came close enough to scramble his comm. One of the Y-Wings, Blue 4, dived at the freighter, targeting its engine compartment. Luke saw the fighter's beam stroke the target, but the bright blue splash as the beam hit revealed that the freighter had augmented shields. The freighter's cannon found Blue 4, and the ship blew apart. Break off. Circle and regroup. Blue 2 was on the way in, and it aborted its attack run. Too late. Blue 2 became shattered history. Four of the Bothan ships looped away in formation, Dash in tandem with them. Luke saw the missile port on top of the freighter blow a cloud of gas into space that crystallized in the sun. He's got a missile off.
I got it,
Dash said.
I'll hammer that spike into scrap.
Luke watched Dash's ship roll and dive, and his robotic guns began spewing bolts of energy.
I gotta be hitting it. Why doesn't it stop?
Dash, come on.
Shut up. I got it. Stop, you piece of junk. Stop.
Blue 6 yelled.
Incoming. Scatter.
The four fighters tried to split up. Too late. The missile exploded among them. And when the blast cleared, all four ships, eight Bothans, were gone. Dash was incredulous.
I can't have missed. I can't.
Luke's anger swept over him. As he put the X-Wing into a sharp and twisting turn, he headed right at the freighter. Four of his squadron had been destroyed just like that, and Dash, hotshot Dash, had screwed up royally. Luke was too incensed to use the Force. He ignored the energy beam stabbing at him, ignored R2's cacophony of whistles and bleats, ignored everything but the engine compartment of the freighter under his guns. Fired again and again. Saw the force field give way under his attack. Saw the engine compartment rupture and smoke as his laser beams faded. Finally, he switched channels to the freighter. Your engines are dead, Captain. And that's what you and your crew will be if you fire another laser or missile. Do you copy? A brief pause.
We copy.
You are hereby considered prisoners of war. Stand by to be boarded. Leia sat in the casino with her head in her hand. She didn't care to think how long they had been waiting for Averro to come through on his promise to help them. Lando was happy as a style pig in warm mud, winning most of the card games he played. Even Chewie was enjoying the casino. But if something didn't break pretty soon, Leia was going to start pulling her hair out. Averro sent a menial to tell them that the representative from Black Sun had arrived. Tell her to meet us at the next chance, Leia told the menial. She approached Chewie, where he played a board game with 3PO. Let's go, boys. We have company. Chewie and 3PO stood and followed her from the casino to the room she'd had Lando rent two casinos away. Lando met them at the door. All set? Leia asked. Yes. Lando would be hiding with his blaster drawn when the Black Sun rep showed up. Chewie would watch the door from the hall, and 3PO would stay with her. Leia moved to a desk at one end of the room and sat behind it. She'd met with Alliance officials, generals, heads of planets, but she'd never had a face-to-face meeting with a major underworld player. She didn't know what to expect. Leia took a deep breath. Send her in. The computer that was unloaded from the freighter was black and nearly featureless. Koth Milan held it easily on his palms. They were on board the Outrider in the ship's lounge. Dash sprawled on a chair, staring at the wall. He was still stunned by his failure in the battle. As much as Luke had wanted to see Dash taken down a notch, this was not how he would have seen it done. He turned back to Milan. Can you access the program? Milan shook his head. No. It'll be encrypted and protected by an automatic destruct device. Our best decoding team is on Kothless, a Bothan colony a few light years from here. We'll transport it there and find out what we've got. I'd like to go along, Luke said. Of course, you can reach it easily in your X-Wing. Are we apt to run into any Imperial problems on the way to Kothless? Milan shrugged. Who can say? It is possible. Would it be possible for your organization to locate Princess Leia? As of yesterday, she was at Averro Sukul's casino in the gambling complex on Rodia. Luke shook his head. These guys were good. He looked at Dash. He couldn't bring him along to Kothless. He was too rattled. Dash, I had it in my sights. No way I could have missed. Dash! Huh? What? Go to Rodia. Find Princess Leia and tell her about the computer and the secret plans. You got it? I should go with you. No, it's more important that you find the princess. Dash blinked. All right. Rodia, plans. Got it. Whatever Leia had been expecting, Guri was not it. The woman from Black Sun was strikingly beautiful. Moving with the grace of a professional dancer, she sat across from Leia and spoke. How may we serve you, princess? Direct and to the point, this woman. But Leia had been too long a diplomat to blurt out what she wanted to a stranger. There needed to be some ritual circling first. 3PO brought tea. The conversation stayed bland. And while there was nothing Leia could put a finger on, she couldn't help feeling that something was wrong with the woman. Finally, she broached the main topic of her interest. I understand that Black Sun has a first-rate intelligence-gathering capability. Guri flashed a smile. We hear things from time to time. We are more than willing to accommodate the Alliance. In fact, we have recently aided you in obtaining the plans for a super-secret Imperial construction project by way of the Bothan Spynet. Really? I hadn't heard that. It was very recent. That would bear investigating. Leia was fairly certain that if Black Sun had given something of value to the Alliance, something would be asked in return. She and the Black Sun representative talked for a while, then agreed to meet again in 3 or 4 days. When Guri was gone, Lando and Chewie came into the room. What do you think? Leia said. Lando shook his head. Man, she's a smooth piece of work. You could stack ice cubes on her head and they wouldn't melt. 3PO?
I was unable to place her accent, which is decidedly odd, given my extensive experience in languages. Chewbacca says the woman made him very nervous.
Freeze it, right there,
Shizor said to Guri. The holoproj of Leia's and Guri's meeting shuddered and held. Shizor studied it.
What did you think of her?
She's adept at meaningless small talk, as befits a skilled diplomat. She revealed nothing of what she really wanted, except that it might have to do with intelligence gathering. She is physically attractive to one of her species and related species. She is intelligent.
And?
And it would seem more than coincidental that this woman, who is known to be close to Luke Skywalker, is probing Black Sun.
Your suggestion?
Kill her. Kill her Wookiee and gambler companion. Wipe the protocol droid's memory and melt it down. Eliminate Averro as well, just to be sure.
I think not. Go back and meet with her again. We should find out exactly how much she knows and to whom she has told it. Then I want you to bring her to me.
You sure this thing is going to work? Leia asked. Chewbacca, busy working on the door jamb with a small power wrench, turned.
He says that if it doesn't, it won't be because it was improperly installed.
Leia looked at Lando, who shrugged.
The guy who sold it to me said it was top of the line. The next time Guri comes, we'll be able to do a complete reading on her. Heartbeat, respiration, muscle tone index, height, weight, body temperature, even a refractive index indicating how old her skin is. You'll be able to see the image, but it'll be invisible to her.
Their plan was to put a sedative in Guri's tea, then when she was unconscious, do a more thorough examination. Lando's comlink bleeped.
A ship has just arrived. The Outrider, piloted by...
Dash Rendar? Leia finished. He's supposed to be watching Luke. They met Dash in a pub-trans cab, heading away from the port. He looked terrible. Leia greeted him hurriedly. Is Luke okay?
Dash stared at her. He's fine. He doesn't need my help.
He told them what had happened.
I should have clipped that missile. Bothans died because I missed.
Leia was silent. She didn't like Dash Rendar, but at least he had some feeling for others. She told him about the situation with Guri, and he agreed to stay and help. The Bothan safe house was on the outskirts of Kothless. What looked like a row of old storage units in an industrial park turned out to be a modern complex of interconnected units gleaming with the latest computer and electronic gear, plus techs to operate it. Information danced in the air as holographic images formed and reformed. Luke looked around. What does it all mean?
Milan laughed. Got me. What I know about programming, you could inscribe on a microdiode with a dull sword.
One of the Bothan techs called out.
Hey, hey, hey. Look at this, boys. Scan Sector Tarphard Xenon. Oh, sister, I can't believe it.
Luke hurried over. What? What is it? Before anybody could say, the door exploded inward and somebody came in shooting. Luke snatched his lightsaber and whipped it up in time to splash the bolt in a shower of red and orange sparks. The techs were unarmed, and Luke saw two of them take hits and go down. The others scrambled for cover. One managed to grab the computer. Koff Melan produced a small weapon as the return fire, hitting the lead attacker right between the eyes. There were more behind him, boiling through the shattered doorway. Luke leapt forward, circled his lightsaber into a horizontal slash, and took down the next man through the door. Melan fired. The bolt sizzled past Luke's left ear and hit the third man coming in. He yelled toward Luke,
"Too many of them! This way!"
Luke turned and ran.